He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the July 20th edition of the Best Stocks Now or Best Inverse Funds Now show. Which will it be today? This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. And, you know, I was hoping for a little bit of follow-through to yesterday's big move in the Dow. The Dow was up 754 yesterday, but we just can't get any follow-through, can we? Right now, the Dow is down 147. I would say it's a mixed bag of earnings reports so far here today. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, is up 11, and the NASDAQ does have some very constructive action taking place in its technical pattern. Now, whether it will follow through, that's another story. The S&P is now down 12 at 3924. Seems to be running into a little resistance there. The Russell 2000 is up a little bit. Crude oil's down $1.82 on an inventory build here in the U.S., but it's at 102.40, 102.40. Gold is at 1706. Boy, is it going to break 1700? The strong dollar is really holding gold down. Silver up 12 cents to 1883. The euro's not at parity anymore. It's at 1.02 right now, so the dollar has weakened just a little bit. We've got the 10-year yield at 2.98. It is inverted. We do have an inverted yield curve. This is the longest it stayed inverted for, a long time, years, okay? So it's very important, this inversion in the yield curve, which would be a pretty good sign that recession is either upon us right now or coming. The star of the day is Bitcoin. It's up 1,530 to 23,808. So you've had a pretty good rally off that 18,000 level. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. I hope Barry's over there enjoying the heat wave in Europe. It seems like they're hitting record temperatures ever since he arrived. I don't know if he has anything to do with it, but scorching up the pavement over there in Rome, in London, in Paris, a heat wave like has never been seen before in Europe. Well, we had this big day in the market yesterday. You know, the Dow was up 754 points. There was really no catalyst behind it that I could find. We're getting more earnings reports on a daily basis. I would say it's a mixed bag so far, which is both good and bad. I don't see earnings estimates going higher for this year or for next year on the S&P 500, but I don't see a big dent yet either coming to those earnings estimates, but we have a long ways to go yet in this earnings season. I did send out a chart this morning on the NASDAQ. Let me find that. I did that in my chat room on Seeking Alpha, where I'm able to post pictures, okay? I posted a picture of the NASDAQ, which is the most encouraging chart of the major indexes. The NASDAQ has been going sideways now for about 3 months, 2 months, 2 to 3 months. And it actually broke out a little bit to the upside, okay, which could have been the first day of a trend reversal. Too soon to say. We need some follow-through. A lot of times those stocks or indexes will break out and indicate the beginning of a new number two uptrend, only to fail. But I will say this, more often than not, they do follow through. And the NASDAQ is up a little bit today. I'm seeing a lot of strength today for whatever reason in the software stocks. Unity Software up 8.2%, Sprout Social up 7.5%, Team up 6.7%, HubStop up 6.7%, Cloudflare up 5.7%, Snowflake up 4.8%. That's where the strength is today. That's about the only place where there's strength in the NASDAQ today. I haven't looked at the chip stocks yet, but that vote is coming up on the chips bill. We'll have more on that in a bit. And there's also strength in the Bitcoin-related stocks. Coinbase is up 4.9% today, but obviously those stocks have been stomped recently. Another winner, Roku, maybe on Netflix's news. Maybe that those million people that left Roku, maybe Roku or left Netflix, are moving over to Roku. Roku was up 6.7% last I looked. And Datadog, the Datadog is up 7.4%. That's about the only leadership in the market. The leadership is very thin today. I also sent out a picture this morning on Seeking Alpha of the Dow. The Dow remains in a primary downtrend, and the Dow is down 150 today. The Dow would have to break above a certain number here to reverse that downtrend. It's threatening to do it, but it has not happened yet. It's threatened to reverse that trend 1, 2, 3. This is its fourth attempt this year at reversing that downtrend that it's been in. It has failed every time to reverse the downtrend. I would say this is its best effort yet. But, you know, until it breaks, it's in a primary downtrend. The other one that looks very encouraging, along with the NASDAQ, is the S&P 500. Yesterday was the first day of a trend reversal from a technical point of view. Okay, now the other part of that equation is obviously the valuation of the S&P 500. Where are those earnings estimates going to be by the end of this week after we get some more earnings reports? Of course, Tesla reports tonight. Is there a more important earnings report than Tesla? I would say Tesla and Apple these days are the big two, with maybe Amazon and NVIDIA right behind. We'll see where that comes in. I'll have a fresh update this Saturday in the newsletter on my target price. That is critical right now. That pretty much is the future of your market as to which way it's going to head from here. As the S&P closes in a little bit on that 4,000 level once again. And so yesterday, the first day of a trend reversal in the S&P 500, but it has to follow through. And the first day of a trend reversal in the NASDAQ. Okay, so we'll keep our eye on that very closely going forward. Yesterday, of course, that big rally, and not sure. I think maybe because they finally figured that it's going to, or they finally are accounting for a 75-point hike next week by the Fed instead of that 100 after the red-hot inflation numbers that came out last week. Well, we'll take a look today at Tesla after the close. We'll be looking at their run rates, their margins, their free cash flow. I wonder if Musk, you know, wishes he would have never got involved with Twitter. That seems to be a big distraction now. Now he's going to have to devote all this time to in the courtroom, lawsuits and whatnot. Not a very good situation there for Elon. And we'll see where Tesla comes in after the close here. Let's just take a look at a chart of Tesla. Obviously the dominant EV maker in the world. Tesla remains in a sideways trend right now. To break out it's got to get up towards 800, 790 or so. It's 50 points away from that. Tesla remains in a sideways trend. Its relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99 is 38. Its P.E. ratio is currently 81. Its forward P.E. ratio is about 45 times earnings, while the S&P is about 16 times earnings. Other companies that will report tonight, Alcoa, a railroad is reporting tonight, CSX, Las Vegas Sands, a lot more, United Airlines, a lot more will be next week. Next week will be a huge week of earnings. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. It changes from day to day. We have a little bit of each right now. That's the kind of market we are in. I would just love to see the market break out to the upside and follow through. We've had some big moves. We've definitely had a lot of constructive bottom building in the market here recently. We had the first day of a reversal of a downtrend into a sideways trend into a uptrend. Now, one day, okay, of the NASDAQ. And the NASDAQ is following through today. It looks the most promising of the three indexes. Number two, the S&P 500 yesterday. It has leveled off for a couple of months, and it turned upwards. It broke above that resistance level yesterday. The first day of a reversal in a trend, maybe, in the S&P 500. I'd like to see a few more earnings results. Maybe by the end of middle of next week, late next week, we're going to have a really good idea. The S&P right now is flat, the Dow down 99, NASDAQ up 71. So there are some things to be very optimistic about right now in the market. Well, Netflix, okay, that was the big report last night. I have no interest. I think the streaming field has become so crowded. Everybody has a streaming service. I mean, I'd be streaming ad nauseum if, you know, I've subscribed to a few, didn't use them. Then they're hard to cancel. It's hard to remember your password. Where did I put my password? I'm getting charged $5.99 every month. Blah, blah, blah. Well, anyways, Netflix had good news, I guess. They had warned that they might lose 2 million subscribers over the last 90 days. Instead, they only lost 1 million subscribers. So, I guess that's good. I don't know. I don't have much interest in Netflix anymore. At once, it was a dominant company. It didn't have much competition. It was way out in front of the competitors until Amazon Prime came along, took a big dent out of them. Netflix is up 2.9%. It's part of that move higher in the NASDAQ, but I still think Netflix faces an uphill battle as far as gaining subscribers. It's all they can kind of do is increase the revenue that they're getting from their current subscribers, I suppose. Roku must be on the receiving end of some of their losses because Roku is up 6.8% today. But as of this point in time in the streaming business, I don't have much interest. Now, can't you see the day in the future? Tesla is in the position that Netflix was in for several years, where it had very little competition, where it was way out ahead of the rest of the pack. And then eventually they started to close in on Netflix, and eventually they'll start to close in on Tesla. It's not, at some point in time, not going to, well, it already has happened. I mean, its multiple has been cut in half. but there's still not really any meaningful competition out there yet. I mean, you've still got all of these wannabes, including GM and Ford, that want to start really rolling the electric vehicles off the assembly line, but they're just not coming off the line very fast. China seems to be the one that's way ahead of the rest of the world with their NIO and Li Auto and BYD, etc. But I think at some point in time, you know, the field will start catching up with Tesla. But in the meantime, Tesla still is king of the hill. European heat wave stymies energy infrastructure. Gas pipelines are impacted. That's all they need over there. They've had to throttle back some of the gas pipelines. In France, some nuclear reactors have received permission to release additional water into local waterways. There was a interconnector problem between the UK and Belgium in one of their pipelines. So a lot of problems over there during the summer months. This is especially a hot one. I saw the data was like 100 years or something for London, hottest day. So that's what's going on, along with that Nord Stream pipeline, which it now looks like it's expected to restart flows on Thursday. Okay, so more on that in a minute, but I want to go back to the UK for a minute. The only thing hotter than the temperature in the UK right now is their inflation number. You know what? It came in even hotter than the U.S. 9.4%. That's a four-decade high. I guess you could say, what's the bigger threat to the U.K.? 106-degree temperature in the middle of summer or 9.4% inflation, which is a four-decade high? Well, neither one of them is good, but there is air conditioning. I guess they don't have much air conditioning over there. That's what I've heard, because they don't really need it. But anyways, that inflation number is just unbelievable. 9.4% rising prices for motor fuels, food. And let's not forget the strike in the Netherlands, which could take some food. Netherlands is the number two food producer in the world. The Netherlands wants to shut down or take or stop the farming of quite a bit of land there. And then, of course, you got the issue in the Ukraine, which is also a big food basket to the world. Okay, the average gasoline prices. Now, I have seen them. We were at $4.19 yesterday. That's the lowest in 2 months. And there is a an ETF, UGA. You can invest in unleaded gas. If you think gas is going much higher, actually it's the not just unleaded, it's the price of gasoline. This ETF hit $80 a share back when President Biden's approval ratings dropped to 39%. Now it's at $60 per share. So we'll see if that gives him a boost in his favorability ratings. UGA is down 25%. That's the ETF, which is forward-looking. But it looks like it has perked up here a little bit and started to head back up. I just think that maybe a bottom has been put in the oil and gas stocks and in gasoline. We're going to find out a whole lot more today. Later today, President Biden will be giving a big speech from a decommissioned coal electric plant somewhere on the eastern seaboard. It's been converted to a wind energy plant. And the Washington Post was predicting that he would declare a climate emergency, which would pretty much shut down the drilling and the exporting of oil here in America. And others say it's going to be presidential orders on select areas of the energy complex. So That's a big announcement coming later today. We'll be right back. This is the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. We were virtual way before the pandemic and COVID and all of that. I just thought, you know what, with my radio show in different cities around the country, I can serve people a whole lot better by being right here where I get to work very early. I have no commute. I don't have offices to run all over the country. I just like it that way, okay? I just like it that way. I'm not a national chain. You know what it's like to eat at a national chain. You get mediocrity. That's what I find. Well, anyways, that's just my opinion. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, you got me for another week before Barry gets back, the rest of this week and next week. I've been taking calls as Edie sets up those appointments for me. That's really nice talking with people. It's been a long time. You know, I've usually got my head in the computer staring at charts, looking for anything, looking for opportunities. And it's been nice to talk to some people around the country here. I don't get to do much of that anymore because I'm so busy doing what I do and managing the money that we manage here at the firm. But if you'd like to have a chit-chat with me that before the week's over or next week, set up an appointment with Edie. She's my appointment keeper, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And this weekend will be a very – each weekend that newsletter is going to become more and more important. By this weekend, we're going to have a big chunk, maybe a fourth, maybe 30% of the S&P 500 companies in the books with their earnings reports. But the most important item that comes out of that will be the estimates for this year and the estimates for next year. I don't think we have any more downside risk to the multiple. That's what's taken 30% of the NASDAQ this year. The earnings haven't gone anywhere. The multiple has. Oh, you didn't know that that multiple could contract. Well, when the 10-year average is around 16 to 18 and it gets up to 23, mathematicians will tell you a reversion back to the mean, especially as interest rates go higher, which was the catalyst. And, of course, interest rates went higher because inflation revved up. And so that took a big bite out of that multiple. That multiple lost a lot of weight. It had about a 42 waistband. Now it's down to a very trim 36, you know, somewhere in there, man's waist. And that's where the multiple. So I don't think the multiple's going to contract anymore. The worry is now is that the other side of that equation is that the earnings expectations contract. That's what you want to look for. Now, I offer out 2 free weeks of my newsletter. It only goes to my clients that I manage their money for. And they get a lot of notices from me during the week about what I'm seeing. And my do-it-yourself subscribers, which I have a cadre out there of folks that watch what I do. They get notices. They get live trading alerts on all the portfolios that I manage. And they have the time to do it themselves. And those that don't, they have me manage their money for a reasonable fee, management fee. Anyways, you can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Nordstream.com. Okay, the other big story here today, the Nord Stream 1 is seen reopening Thursday, but below capacity. It's been shut for maintenance since July 11th. It will operate again, but below its capacity of 160 billion cubic meters per day of gas. The pipeline provides more than one-third of the European Union's natural gas. And there were concerns that it would not be reopened. In fact, the European Commission was preparing member states for the pipeline just in case it didn't reopen. Well, the EU has also released a plan to cut emergency demand, as Putin warns, and messes around. He uses it as leverage, and why not, I suppose. It's the main artery for Russian gas to the European Union. What are they doing to try to wean themselves away? Well, they use it right now for everything from heating, cooking, electricity, and power generation. In Germany, they rely 60% on that Russian pipeline, okay? Let's see, what are they doing? Gas shortages have already undermined the euro, which it was at parity with the dollar. They're asking people of the countries of the EU, which, what, I think there's 23 countries that make up the EU, reduce your consumption by 15% over the next 8 months. And in the meanwhile, they're trying to switch as fast as they can away from natural gas to other energy sources like nuclear and coal. Well, you know how long it takes to build a nuclear power plant. The coal plants, there are many that are decommissioned that I suppose they're trying to rev up again, especially in Germany. Now, the oil situation. We're at $102 per barrel right now. We're going to get a big announcement from President Biden later today on the climate crisis, that he calls it, the climate crisis, which some say he's going to put out in an emergency order, and others say he's going to try to do the following. One would be to, number one would be to cut off the exports of oil from the U.S. Okay, we're not exporting any more oil, because that would then slow down the drilling and production of oil and gas. But, you know, Europe is on the receiving end of a lot of that, and we're helping them out in a tough time. So that's the positive, that's the negative. The other would be pretty much shutting down the transportation of oil in America, which you would think would drive prices higher. Now, let's talk about the supply-demand equation for a minute. We've heard recently from several big oil executives that, hey, you know, you better be careful, or you're going to, the situation is pretty extreme right now as far as the tightness in the oil supply in the future. Today, ConocoPhillips CEO Ryan Lance, he's the latest oil industry insider to warn of a supply crunch coming. Should we listen? Yes. Germany didn't listen to the dangers of relying on Putin, and most of Europe went along. They didn't listen, okay? They were being warned. Should we listen to the CEOs of these major oil companies? We can't just flip the switch over to solar. They're warning of a major supply crunch coming. Oh, of course that's in his best interest, yes. But at the same time, you know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses and remarks to members of the oil group, the Houston Producers Forum on Tuesday, CEO Lance warned of limited spare capacity amongst the OPEC countries. We were reminded of that President Biden just came back from Saudi Arabia. I think it was Macron from France that wanted him to go, try to get them to amp up. They're not going to do it. So he came home empty-handed. So now this is creating an issue in the future of a supply crunch. Okay, so that's coming from the CEO of ConocoPhillips. Last week it was Chevron CEO Michael Wirth that warned that lower crude oil prices would be fleeting as the oil market remains tight. Personally, I still think it makes sense to own some oil stocks in your portfolio. They were the only sector that was up in the first half of 2022. They had a big sell-off of 20 to 25% on recession fears, but then it comes back to the old supply-demand equation. When we come back, we'll talk about what's popping and dropping today. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now. It's going to be more on the Best Stocks Now side of things here today in the stocks that are popping. CHIPS for America Act passes its first procedural hurdle in the Senate. We continue to own AMD. NVIDIA also looks very interesting right now, as does KLAC. So those are, if indeed, okay, if you're just joining us, I sent out a picture, a snapshot from my chart of the NASDAQ. It's a one-year chart with all my notes on it and all my trend lines on it. And I noted that yesterday, the NASDAQ, which has been going sideways now, that's a bottom. It was in a horrible downtrend. It was down 28% year-to-date. Horrible. Because the highest P.E. stocks are in the NASDAQ. And when interest rates go up, the highest P.E. stocks get hit the hardest. Now that interest rates have settled down a little bit, and now that P.E. multiples have contracted a lot, well, they've contracted by 28%. That's all come from the P.E. contraction, not earnings. Now some of those stocks are starting to turn up, and it's showing up in the overall NASDAQ composite of 100 stocks. Yesterday it turned up above that sideways trend, a little breakout, which is either the first day of a new uptrend in the NASDAQ, or it will turn into a failed attempt at beginning a new uptrend. Well, I like new uptrends, at least the probabilities. Look, if you'd have I don't like buying in a downtrend. That's the worst thing you can do. I don't like buying in a really extended trend that's starting to top out and go sideways. And I don't like buying in a sideways trend, which is just dull. But when it finally turns up, you know, in my newsletter every week, I have a lesson that's there every week about 1, 2, 3, 4, the different trends that every stock, every index is currently in. You can look at a stock and say it's in a number one sideways trend. You have to look at the primary trend, not yesterday, not a week, not a month, but the primary trend. Is it sideways? Is it up? Is it topping out or is it going down? Well, I've just found that over the years, the highest probability doesn't mean it's going to work out, is that breakout from a sideways trend. Hopefully, you've just caught the beginning of a new uptrend. The NASDAQ did that yesterday. There's no guarantees, but it's the most encouraging I've seen the NASDAQ look in months since last year, since November of last year. The same happened in the S&P 500. It turned up for the first time since last November. So a couple of stocks. I mentioned AMD, okay? AMD has a very similar trend to that of the NASDAQ. Now, will AMD continue to go higher? It's gone from 71, that's where it bottomed, it's at 88. So, well, that's about a 20% move, isn't it? 20% move, something like that, off of its low. It's up 3.33% today. We do own it on pretty good volume, okay? Now, the caveat is they will report earnings on August the 2nd. In about 2 weeks, okay? But AMD chart, you know, it's popping today. There's something strange going on with the ARK stocks. It's been my observations when all of the stocks in her fund have a good day, which they're having today, that means she got a big chunk of money in and is putting it to work. That's been my observations. It's not the market buying those stocks, it's her. Now, I don't know if there's any correlation. She's closing down one of her funds, ARKU, the transparency, the one that, which made no sense ever for me, but ARK, I can't think of what the fourth letter is, but it's her fund that was the best transparent stocks that provide transparency. She's closing that down. There's $12 million in that. I don't know if she's putting the money into ARK. I don't know. That's just a theory I have. But I'm seeing extreme action. Look at TARK, which is two times ARK. TARK the shark. TARK is up 12% today on huge volume. Okay, now let's look at ARK and see if there's big volume. Yes, there's big volume. So I think it's money coming in, and I think it's her buying. Now, my other experience has been a day or two later, it all peters out because all that money going in, driving up these, in some cases, thinly traded stocks, without her action, they fall back just on you know, their own. So we'll see. That's just, I'm just saying, be careful with this. But there is very good action in almost all of her stocks today. Coinbase, Roku, Teladoc, and stocks like that. Okay, another stock that catches my eye here today, last one, and then I got to go, Datadog, DDOG, which isn't one of hers. So it's going up on market action, which I like a lot better. Datadog is a very good software as a service based monitoring platform for cloud applications used by enterprises. $32 billion in market cap. Very good growth. Excellent growth. We don't own it here, but by disclosure, I own a little bit in my personal account. Datadog, DDOG. All right, well, we're out of time. And if you'd like to talk, set up an appointment, you call Edie, 855-611-BEST. That's a toll-free number nationwide. We're a nationwide firm with folks in almost every state of the country. 855-611-BEST. You know, take 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so to kind of get your story, kind of get to know each other and what you're up to, what you're looking for, etc. Then we go from there, okay? But the initial call, 20, 30 minutes, with Edie sets up my appointments, and after that it'll be with Barry, 855-611-BEST. And to get on our newsletter list, that's GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. We'll see what happens. Biden's big speech today and what impact that will have on the oil and gas sector. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.